You're listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi, your podcast for one-on-one Mets conversations.
What's up, Mets fans? I'm Matt Cerrone. Thanks for listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi. Mets home runs go a lot further than you think. For every Mets home run hit at Citi Field this season, Citi will donate $2,000 to No Kid Hungry to help fight childhood hunger. Every dollar donated provides 10 healthy meals for kids. Last season, the Citi Community Home Runs program raised over $170,000. To learn more about it, go to Mets.com/Citi. This week, I'm going to play an interview I did over during spring training, actually, with none other than Mike Piazza. I had always wanted to talk to Mike. Took me 10, 12 years to actually catch up with him. Got to sit in the dugout in Port St. Lucie, talk with him about really things that had nothing to do with baseball. What I was trying to understand was what made him so interesting, unique. Big guy, learned catching, you know, became such a tremendous hitter, obviously very detailed, attention-oriented. So I wanted to learn a little bit more about that. So you'll see the questions are more along those lines. Obviously, Mike's going to get inducted into the Hall of Fame soon, then have his number retired by the Mets. So this is awesome. It's a thrill of a lifetime. I was really excited to talk to him. So hope you enjoy it. Check it out. Here it is. So I was interested when you were talking yesterday about the wine with Seaver.
Yeah.
So what about wine? Why wine? What is it about, you know, are you into, like, you know, the glass and the note and that whole thing?
Yeah. Well, it's an easy way to be sophisticated if you like to drink, I guess. No. Yeah, Fran Healy told me about that. He goes, just another excuse to get drunk. No, I think because of the traditions of wine, and I think wine has gone through a full circle of evolution in this country. And personally, I think as you get older, obviously when you're young and there's nothing wrong, guys have beers and stuff. But I think you understand now that there's wine being produced all over the world in many, many countries and so many different varietals and everyone has their favorite. And that's the thing about wine. Everyone's asking, well, what's the best wine? I'm like, well, whatever one you're drinking and whatever one you like. I mean,
for me, it always came back to my grandfather, like an Italian, like you are, like sure. I, you know. And it was, you know, I was 7 years old. I was like, oh, he was a little sick, you know. It's like, and I have that connection to, like, heritage wise.
Well, and especially being of Italian descent, you know, wine is symbolizes the family getting together on Sunday and having you know, a meal and spending time together. And as you funny you say, my grandfather made a variation of wine that he would actually would today probably be a fortified wine where he would have the grapes and then he would put like a bottle of Jack Daniels or something in there and do his own little concoction and have it in the jug, you know, the reed jug. And I think it's just something that brings people together. I mean, that's the best part about it. And as I've said, all over the world now, I mean, you go to Napa, you go to France, you go to Italy, you can go to Australia, I mean, you can go to even now South America. And so it's something that obviously worldwide.
The other thing, obviously, is music. Rock and roll, everybody knows that. My producers all want me to know what you think about Guns N' Roses potentially playing again.
Well, I've always been a huge fan of the band, and I am excited. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see how successful they are.
Think it'll actually happen?
That's another question. I don't know. I mean, look, I mean, the thing is, they've always been very eccentric guys. You know, Slash, I think, has been a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Predictable than Axl. I mean, Axl's always had that
relatively
personality.
Speaking, that's a stretch.
And it seems to me like, you know, as I've talked about it before, that kind of Slash is folding into Axl's version of Guns N' Roses. From a marketing standpoint, I think it's very interesting. I think, obviously, the opportunities there. As a fan, I wish the window would have happened sooner.
Yeah.
But with that said, you know, I actually thought the Buckethead version that Axl had was very interesting. I kind of liked it. I don't know why. It just maybe was different. And I've not that I'm not a fan of Slash. I think he's great. I think it's going to be a fun to watch. But, you know, I mean, you look at the Van Halen reunion. I mean, it's not exactly what the hardcore fans wanted. And
even the Motley, I saw Motley Crue right at the end there.
Yeah.
It's rough. I mean, it's fun.
Age takes on, you know, we can't do what we used to do when we were 20 and 30. And I think so the attitude's different. And, you know, you get older and you have family, so I guess you get less rock and roll. But, you know, you still love the songs.
Right.
And I think it's always fun. I've always been a huge fan of live music. I love live music. I know even live music today is getting less live because of all the, you know, overdubs and things that are being mixed into the show and presentation and stuff. But, you know, the more things change, the more the same. They still have to go out there and play, and it's fun. And I always tell people, you know, if you enjoy it, just go. If you don't, don't.
And you still playing drums?
I do, yeah. I mean, I as a hobby, I mean, it's fun
Why
for
the
me.
Drums and not guitar? You know, younger people tend to gravitate to the guitar, and it's like, you know, the lead singer and stuff. But
well, I'm a frustrated guitarist
okay.
because I tried to play guitar and I couldn't. Gotcha. So then I went into drums, and I love songs.
Sure.
So I kind of get more songs than actual, like, the rudiments of drums mm-hmm. or... So I can actually play songs, but I'm not technically. I mean, I know my rudiments, but I'm very, very poor. So yeah, for me, it's just putting on some headphones and playing right. music is the fun part.
No, maybe you should on YouTube. You should check out if you search like a song and search drum track. They have all these like isolated. So like they'll pull, you know, this guy's drum track off of the masters. It's
yeah.
pretty wild. So like you just listen to that and you just hear the percussion and stuff. It's pretty slick.
Well, YouTube is, I think, the most amazing invention because, as you said, you can pull different things, yeah. karaoke now. It's nuts. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And you know, when I was a kid, again, I mean, I would go on the road with a briefcase full of CDs, you right. know, that I would all put in because yeah. I wanted to hear my music and I had my little CD player and have to play different songs, and now you just have the phone. So I think it's great. I mean, I think YouTube's great because, yeah, I mean, I was watching the other day, I just had this... I don't know why, but I wanted to see Spinal Tap Stonehenge.
Okay.
And
yeah, sure.
So I just pulled it up. I thought right. it was hysterical.
Yeah.
There's a live version there from one of these festivals. You know? The Druids. Yeah.
That's great.
You know?
Yeah.
With the awesome. with the sure. yeah, the mandolin at the yeah. end.
But so, they were performing. You're talking about from the movie.
No, their anniversary. I think they played a few years ago.
Together.
Like
yes.
a reunion thing.
Right, right, right. They all got
I think
together.
Yeah, and then they went over and did some That's festivals.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was
That's
great. Awesome. The Druids. Nobody knew who they were.
The other one yeah. you do is with acting, right? Like you did some of the ballet stuff. So what pulled you to that?
You know what? I think I'm at a point in life to where if I want to do something, I do it. And the ballet thing was a lot of fun because I was very good friends by a guy by the name of Mr. Paul Damari, who mm-hmm. they're very successful in the agriculture business, and they're huge benefactors to many institutions in Miami, University of Miami, a lot of the cultural institutions. And my two daughters study ballet,
mm-hmm.
and okay. they absolutely adore it. And they're actually getting where my oldest is 9, and I'm trying to figure out because soon she will be eligible for pointe shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like
I'm
a huge decision.
Getting into it.
Yeah.
So
I'm kind of on the bubble. So they were studying there, and Paul said, look, if you do this benefit, I'll make a huge donation to the ballet. So that's the connection. When people are like, what do you do? You do ballet. It was So it's a personal. I mean, I just have to kind of explain the story behind how things develop. And that was a lot of fun. And, you know, I got to tell you that the dancers there are super sweet, super dedicated. And they're amazing to watch. I mean, I think it's such a great skill.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a new appreciation for what they do. So, you know, being an athlete, it's always nice at this point in life to cross over and see do different things like that.
So what I'm sensing is a lot of these things, there's an element of refinement, right? Wine, drums versus, mm-hmm. say, you know, rhythm guitar,
mm-hmm.
Acting, those types of things. Like, do you feel like that's a commonality? Do you see that, like, in your game? Was there any sort of... something about that kind of meticulous, refined movement and stuff. Is there something that you catch that? Do you notice that? Because there are similarities there between those things as you're talking. I hear it.
No, and that makes sense. But also for me, the fact that I've been so blessed in my life to not only do what I did on the field, but to have, you know, the good fortune to have the resources mm-hmm. to do these things. And I mean, when I retired again, you know, I was always fortunate enough to know that baseball was what I did. It wasn't who I was. And I come from an entrepreneurial family.
Right.
So I tell athletes all the time, young athletes, look, it's good to want to dedicate all your energy to being the best athlete you can be and trying to be a star. But sometimes one day that will end.
Right.
And there's a whole another part of life that's out there that you have to be prepared for. And you know, I think when I retired as well, I took some time off like everyone, then I figured, hey, what am I going to do now? You have to keep yourself busy. And then with kids and, you know, fortunately being in the business world and cars and some other ventures, you get busy quickly,
sure.
You know, and you do have to find time to slow that down and enjoy your family. And so, you know, I love travel and I love just freedom, you know, and mm-hmm. I tell people all the time that money really is freedom. You know, it's not, doesn't make you better,
right.
Doesn't make you a better person, doesn't make you smarter, doesn't make you more intellectual. It just gives you freedom to do what you want to do. And so I've just been lucky that I'm kind of a free spirit, you know, like if I want to get on a plane and I try to work it out and my wife and I go to Italy and really enjoy life that way.
What I was referring to, less refinement in sort of high, that's not what I meant that way. I mean more like meticulous and detail oriented, right? Those things are all very precision based. That's a common vibe among all those interests that you have. And so I'm wondering if that's something that you brought to the game. Is there something that was interesting to you about baseball in that way? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. No, it does. I think, but also what I get you're saying, if to kind of back up, when I played the game, that was 90% of my concentration and my efforts. And then when you're not playing the game, you're right. You have to find sort of a common element, you know, and things that the game, that you enjoyed about the game and that transfers into other things. So, you know, I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, the fact that I was able to take limited ability and get a lot out of my ability and have success, and you're right, all those things that you mentioned do have a certain amount of, you have to, as you said, drill down, refine, whatever that may be, you know, and whether that's, like you said, with wine or other things. Those things have always been very intellectually. No, I mean, they've always been intellectually.
Psychoanalyzed, but, like, it's interesting.
Stimulating me. Like, for example, you know, when I played with Hideo Nomo and I did a couple tours of Japan, I learned some Japanese. And then I played with all the Latin guys, so I learned Spanish. And now I've been going to Italy, so now I learned some Italian. And I just think that always keeping your mind sharp and having something.
You meditate?
Pray. I mean, pray and meditation to me are very similar.
Yeah. Right.
No, I from a religious standpoint, yeah, I do. I mean, that to me is my meditation.
Sure.
It's all incorporated.
Sure.
And it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, generally, I think it is important to slow life down because we have such a tendency to want to really do so much too quickly, and part of life is just enjoying the ride.
Thanks again for listening to the MetsBlog Q&A cast presented by Citi. Citi card members get exclusive perks when they use their Citi card at Citi Field. Spend $50 or more at a Mets merchandise retail store at Citi Field and get a $10 Citi Perks gift card redeemable in the ballpark. Learn more about it at Mets.com/Citi. We'll be back again next week with another Q&A cast. And as always, let's go Mets.
This has been the Mets Blog Q&A cast, presented by Citi, part of the SNY.TV audio network.